the reading of this scripture. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Kings 5, beginning with verse 1. 2 Kings 5, beginning with verse 1. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Look at all the scholars, boy. They just go straight there, huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of God reads, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive young girl from the land of Israel. She waited, otherwise she served on Naaman's wife. Then she said to his mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Israel, Syria, said, 'Go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 600 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.' And it happened that when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent the king saying, Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house." Heavenly Father God, Lord, I humble myself before you, Lord, as your servant, as your mouthpiece this morning, my God. Lord, as I decrease, Lord, may you increase. Your word goes forth and never returns to you void, my God. And Lord, we just pray this morning, Lord, that it will impact hearts, souls, dear Lord God, that it would bring about healing physically, mentally, spiritually, Lord, emotionally, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that when all is said and done, you be glorified here today in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints of God said, amen. Turn to the person next to you, give them a high five, and tell them this: don't put God in a box. Don't put God in a box. Amen. You may be seated. My message this morning I've entitled, "God Blesses Us Beyond Expectation." We know that this is our year of expectation, but we also need to know that God blesses us beyond our expectations. Amen. Otherwise, God blesses us above and beyond, and has blessed us above and beyond, you understand, that which we could even fathom this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning also about the danger of predeterminations or preconceived notions when comes to the call of God. Otherwise, when God calls, we know that God calls us to use us, to use our lives. He gives us spiritual gifts and blessings that we might be empowered to go do the work that he has called us to do. But he also calls us to heal us. He calls us that we might be a testimony to his goodness, to his mercy, to his power, to his love. So this morning, as I've read here we've read about a commander named Naaman in the army of Syria, a great honorable man, the Bible says, that in his master's eyes, He was great and honorable. And we know that if he's great and honorable in the king's eyes, we know that the nation pretty much follows suit, don't we? Not all the time, but hey, most of the time. Amen. Amen. The Lord had used Naaman. He had used Naaman to bring about many victories in war for Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, the Bible just read. But, somebody say but. We all have buts. See, y'all took that wrong, see. But he was a leper. All right, I'm going to say that again. We all have buts. Okay, we all have buts. We walk around sometimes. We see people that, but he was sick. But he was too fat. But he's too black. He's too white. He's too brown. He's too yellow. But she walks with a limp. Oh, he's a great person, but he stutters. But we all have buts, okay? We all have issues. She's finer than wine, you understand, but she's got crooked teeth. Amen. So here we see a man, a good man. The Bible says an honorable man, but he was a leper. Amen. Hey, at least them crooked teeth are your teeth, so okay? Amen. Hallelujah. We all have all sorts of issues, and we see that this man here, this honorable man, was a leper. Leprosy is a contagious disease that affects the skin, the mucous membranes. Otherwise, lepers might walk around with a what we call as a kid's a snotty nose all day. Okay, stuff running down, you know, I guess in Spanish, mocos, running down, you know, all day long. Amen. You know, also it affects the nervous system. They may walk and twitch, you know, which I do as I get older. I walk and twitch. The older I get, I, you know what I'm saying? Especially when I hear bad news, you know. My goodness, why? My wife can testify, amen. I thank God for her. She puts up with my stuff, amen. I'm a little bit crazy, but that's okay. Amen. It causes skin discoloration and lumps on the skin. In severe cases, it causes disfiguration and deformities in the body. It causes things. Now, in this day and time, leprosy is confined to tropical areas like Africa and Asia. So here we see this. Great man Naaman, everything is going good, but he has a terrible disease. This text tells us, doesn't tell us how long Naaman had this serious disease. It doesn't tell us how long that he walked around and he suffered with this affliction. Maybe it was from a kid. Maybe it was just recently that he had this affliction. It doesn't say there how long he had been tormented by this. Anyway, his wife's maid, otherwise this captured a slave girl who was unafraid. She was unafraid to speak out about the man of God that she believed could bring healing to her master. So she spoke out unafraid. And it happened to stir up a strong expectation in this man of God. Naaman. And it stirred up a strong expectation in him. Then it went on to his master, the king. King Ben-Hadad, as it's pronounced. And Ben-Hadad got stirred up with strong expectation for his servant. And so we see here that after he stirred his master up about the fact that, hey, there may be somebody, so the slave girl says, there in Israel who is able to heal me of this dreaded disease. So King Ben-Hadad, he wrote a letter to the king of Israel there, King Jehoram, and he wrote a letter to him. And King Jehoram, when he received the letter and read it, he tore his clothes. It was a custom, a Jewish custom in those days, that when somebody, you know, somebody died, or somebody was hurt, or there was bad news that came in, you understand, they would rip their clothes. And I've been there before. Not that it was a custom, but because it hurt so bad. It hurt so bad that I ripped my shirt off. And so this is what they did, and it was customary to do this. So he ripped his clothes. And the king said, King Jehoram, he said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a leper to me to heal? And it was a good thing at that time that Elisha was in Samaria at the time, because King Jehoram might have killed or attacked Naaman, thinking that it was a scam or some type of war posture. Otherwise, it was an insult to him that he would be sent a man, you understand, by another king, thinking that he could heal the man. Otherwise, what's going on here? You know, what's going on here? Are you trying to get me into a quarrel? You're trying to get me into a fight? No, I can't heal him. And if you know that I'm not a healer, why do you send him to me? All right? So that's how it was taken. But Elisha, praise God, Elisha tells the king to send Naaman to him so that he could show him that Yahweh, God, was in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the front door of Elisha's house. Now, this condition that Naaman had, I'm sure, was a very embarrassing and ugly condition. He probably walked around, although he was a great leader, a great warrior, a great commander, general of the armed forces there of Syria. But I'm sure that there were people talking behind his back. I'm sure that he suffered from some emotional things too, a condition, some types of insecurities because of his condition. And I'm sure little kids, you know, little kids, man, they don't think, they don't have that wisdom yet. Look at him. Look at him. I said, man, I've had it done before. Look at him. His glasses are crooked. He's cross-eyed, mama. You know, they say things, you know, and they probably laugh. And so he was probably a man walking around, you understand, occasionally insecure. No doubt Naaman was desperate, and he had high expectations and probably pictures in his mind about being healed, being normal, with a new lease on life. They told me that my hepatitis C had progressed from a count of 2 million to 10 million in 2 years. And they told me, you're going to have to do something. Prior to that, I had ignored the treatment. And, man, I'm going to pray. I'm going to drink herbs, not that kind, but herbs and spices, okay? I didn't say smoke, drink. I'm going to drink herbs and spices and stuff like that, continue to pray, do the things that's healthy, you know. But 2 years later, it seemed that it doubled, it increased, it tripled. And so I walked around in despair because I did not want to do the treatment. And Pastor Jerry, God bless him, hallelujah, my friend, in his voice he said, Brother Charles, God may want to heal you through the treatment. And he knew, because he was suffering at that time from liver cancer, and we had both turned down the treatment around the same time. And before he passed on to go home to be with the Lord, that is what he told me. And he said, Brother Charles, you might be the first one in our church to go through the treatment successfully. And others will follow. And I can praise God today because I'm healed. And guess what? I can also praise God that others followed. Do you hear me? Others followed. There's something going on here. God is a God, you understand, that when something is taking place and he's involved in it, you understand, but he's sovereign. He sees all. He knows all. But this call to go get healed by the man of God was a call. It was a multifaceted call. It was not just a call to heal the man. Hello, somebody. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But this man, Naaman, had high expectations. He could picture himself being healed. And I want to continue to read from verse 10. It said, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious. He got mad. And he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, talking to himself now. Hello, somebody. Y'all get mad, talk to yourself. I get mad, I talk to myself sometimes. I don't understand already what's going on. That person, you know what? I'm not gonna have to take that no more. I do. You look around to see if anybody was watching. It's like when you fall down somewhere or something, stumble. Was anybody watching? He was talking to himself. He said to himself. He thought to himself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord of his God and wave his hand over the place and heal this leprosy. And then he asked the question, are not the Abana and the Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers in Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away. In what? Rage. He upset. He's a warrior. He could have easily started a war right there. They disrespected me. He sent a servant instead of coming himself to heal me and told me to go dunk myself, you understand, in the Jordan River 7 times. In that old sticky, muddy water down there at the Jordan. Why couldn't he send me to these rivers that are crystal clear? Hello, somebody. You see what's happening here? Long before he came to this place, you understand, he had already predetermined, you understand, he had a preconceived notion on how things were supposed to go. Oh, hello, somebody. See, when God calls you, it's God's program. It's God's deal. He's going to run it the way he wants to. And believe me, Lord, have mercy. Let him run it the way he will. I know that every time I put my hand to it, it goes wrong. See, it's been 21 years since I've been in Victory Outreach, and God's done awesome things in my life, but I still get it wrong. Hello, somebody. I still get it wrong. So he had already preconceived, like many of us do. We already got a plan for God. Oh, my goodness. God, this is how I want you to do it. Yeah, I want you to lay that over to the side right there. I want you to put that there. You know, I'm going to walk down. We're going to tell God how it goes. Now, I don't know about you. I got 4 eyes, and I still don't see too good. But here's the Almighty God who sees all, knows all. He's in all places at one time. He's all powerful, omnipotent, the Bible says. All knowing. By all means, God, show me what's way down the road because I can't see that far. I can't see that far. And whatever might be lurking there, you understand, is probably greater than me anyway. So even if I knew where I was going, you understand, in my own power, in my own strength, I probably would not be able to do anything without it, without you, Lord. Do anything about it. It's easy to see here that Naaman had anticipated, predetermined, and had preconceived notion of how things were supposed to go. Can I testify? I'll try to make it brief. I thought the sisters were going to call an altar call a while ago, which it would have been, hey, sisters was preaching. They on fire. All right, they took two or three cups with them, okay? They came here and they poured out a 50-gallon drum this morning, hallelujah. Give God a praise, because that's a powerful thing. My goodness. Preach, sister, preach. My goodness, I'll make the altar call if don't nobody else make it. Come on now. Come on, preach. 23 years ago, I'd come to what I thought was my wit's end. And my crack addiction. I was robbing anything, everything, and everybody. I wasn't taking no prisoners. You couldn't even tag along with me. If I got to look at you someday, brother, we got a part coming, because today I'm not taking no prisoners. If you got money, I'm beating you before the day is over. All right? But there's no friendship here. There's no love out here. All right? And so I was at my wit's end, so I thought. And I had some help when I checked into the Northside Presbyterian Rehab Center. Oh, I checked in there. I had to have some help because the program was $8,000. Okay? $8,000. Well, I can buy a whole bunch of crack with $8,000. But I checked into the program, and when I got there, oh, look at here. My. I'm talking about the floor sparkled like glass. This is your room, sir. You know, after $8,000, they call you sir. And I'm tore up from the floor up. Yeah, that's all right. You call me sir. No teeth in my mouth. I'm raggedy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'll be a sir today. Right on then. Thought I had it going on. Raggedy man. You could call me raggedy man. So I checked in and they showed me the room, and two people to a room, you understand, they had modular furniture, modern modular furniture. Desks that were part aluminum with clear, plexiglass tops and the bed, and you had push-button beds. Oh, man, it's on. Then there were nurses and doctors walking around, and they had their coats on and their suits, you know. You know how they wear the laboratory uniforms and stuff, you know. Wow. And then the place where we met, you understand, for counseling and for our 12-step program stuff, just plush. Plush. Look at here, y'all. I got it now. Crack, it's on. It's on. I got it now. Because in a place like this, I know I'm going to get delivered. Ooh, amen. All right. I was there 30 days. Before 40 days... I was back on crack smoking harder than I'd ever smoked in all my life. Hello, somebody. A year and a half later, I got new charges, and I said, I came really to my wit's end. God spoke to me. I gave my brother testimony last night. I'm not going to tell that whole testimony. Tell part of it. But on a day where I was alone and I was had that... I don't know. Maybe some of you can relate to that feeling of death. It was just stronger than ever before. And I wasn't afraid to die, but I believed in heaven and hell way back in the recesses of my mind and heart. And I spoke to God that, Lord, help me, because something's not right here. People who I owe money, they want to kill me, but I'm going to kill them before they kill me. So somebody's going to die today, and somebody's going to go do life in prison. And I went over to my cousin's house and threw some drugs up on his dresser and asked him for a Yellow Pages. And I was weeping and crying, and he was looking at me wondering what's wrong with me. But see, all you've been concerned about first, cuz, I love you, man, but there ain't no love out here on these drugs, and all you've been concerned about is whether or not I got something. Every time I come through your door, I need to have something. So there. And I broke down. He was looking at me, what's wrong with you? Picking up the crack at the same time. What's wrong with you? And I began to scan the Yellow Pages in rehab. I didn't know nothing about no Victory Outreach Home. And I was fighting through the tears. I was fighting through the tears, you understand? I couldn't see the pages. And all of a sudden, and it sounds crazy, but it's true, my fingers stopped on a number. I didn't even recognize the address. I didn't care about the address. I needed a number at that time. I was desperate. I got to have this place. Come get me. And I talked to Tim and another brother there. Brother, if I can come into your program, please, can you come get me now? Can you come now? I'm only a few yards away from the people that I want to kill, and they want to kill me. And actually, it's more of them than there is me. Can you come now? And I had no more family in Albuquerque at the time. They were all at a family reunion in Dallas. And I just got out of jail. They came and picked me in a racing truck. Sam, you remember the truck. Had panel, wooden panels on the side, but it had a racing engine in it. Y'all don't hear me. When you raise up the hood, it had a 350 Chevrolet engine in it. It had hooker headers. It had Isky cams. Well, y'all don't know this racing talk. It had cams, racing cams and stuff. Bad truck. But I've been up 3 days. Truck sounds good. Okay. All right, let's go. Fell asleep. Snoring. They carried me into the men's home. Men's home? Where y'all at? They carried me into the men's home. All right? But I passed out. I didn't even see where we went. All I know is I woke up 2 days later out of a crack coma. I woke up 2 days later, you understand, and I walk into, now this is going to have a lot of slashes. I walk into a sanctuary slash washroom slash dining room. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, right? All right, it was all of that in one. We're going to worship God, wash clothes, and eat at the same time. Hallelujah. 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 It's on up in here. It's on up in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And there was brothers walking around. And I staggered in there. Watch out, brother. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out, dog. Watch out, dog. I don't know nothing about all of that. You know, I barely talk English good, and I understand only the bad words in Espanol. So watch your tongue, brother. Hey, brother, I don't want no prayer, bro. I had told my cousin 3 days in a row because he knew that I had debts on the west side, and that's why I was on the east side in the war zone. And I kept calling him a whole bunch of names, but anyway, calling him a whole bunch of names and saying, man, I'm moving to the west side. I don't care about you like you don't care about me. And he laughed at me. You know you can't move to the west side. You know what they're going to do over there. I'm going to the west side. Going to the west side. Said that 3 days in a row. And on Labor Day, I went to the west side. All right. So that day when I woke up in the home and I said, no, I'm getting out of here. Shama lama. There's too much of that going on here. And y'all reaching out for me. No, don't lay no hands on me. I don't trust nothing. I don't even trust me. I'm scared of my shadow, let alone you laying hands on me. So it's not going to go down like that. I'm getting out of here. And I walked out of the home and I went down through the rock driveway there. When I got, I didn't know where I was. I'd never really seen the home, paid any attention to the home before. And I walked out, and I looked up at the sign. And it said, Salvador and Atrisco. And I heard a voice that said, you're on the west side. Now, I had heard this voice for 3 days. God was prophesying through me about the west side. And I ended up in the home, and I broke down right there, and I began to cry. I began to weep. And Pastor Jerry and the men came out, and they began to lay hands on me and pray for me. And they brought me back into the home. That's almost 22 years ago. But in the home, though, I still had my struggles, you know. Okay, I've been to the program where they got modular furniture and shiny floors and you know, they didn't have all this thing, slash this, slash, okay, anyway. You know, where we're going to pray and wash and eat at the same time. You know, we didn't have all of that. But I walk in the dorm that I just came out of, and I looked at homemade bunk beds. Okay, all right. I've slept on worse. They pulled me up off I made a pillow out of a parking block one day. You know, concrete block. Yeah, Jabbo, you were asleep for about 3-4 hours using that concrete slab for a pillow. In the beginning, I had a preconceived notion. But because I had gone through what I had gone through, you understand, it was time for me to surrender unto God. Because it don't matter about the place. What it matters and what matters most is that Jesus is in this place, that Jesus is moving in a mighty way, and I'm just going to let go and let God. I remember elderly people coming up when I was coming up. They told me, boy, everything that glitters is not gold. Just because it shines, it's not gold. There was a gold rush back in the day, and they had got turned on to some fool's gold. Listen to what I say, fool's gold. So everybody collecting the gold was what? It was fool's gold. So that's why they said, hey, everything that glitters is not gold. Amen? Let's continue to read. If I can get the keyboard this up. Check this out, verse 13. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said. And they were bold. They were bold. Because this man was raged. He probably didn't want to hear from no servant. Might have chopped the head off. But this is what they told him. My father, they called him father. If the prophet or the man of God had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Well, then, how much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. Otherwise, they had some common sense that kicked in. Sometime we come with rocket science. I believe that God has given us some common sense. Hello, somebody. But we want to come with rocket science. I'm going to do the calculus thing here. I'm going to figure this out. Here. Brother, just go to the home, okay? just go to the home, okay? You calculating on some stuff. You know, you know, my family, they need me. Brother, you've been going out into the streets for the last 15 years, cheating on your wife, cheating on your family, you understand? Spending all the rent money. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's time to go for broke, church. Time to go for broke. Here was a commander who threw the servants that were speaking to him, you understand? Common sense in verse 14. So he went down. Otherwise, we see here, he did what? He surrendered. What did he have to lose? He was a leper. Although he went down there, see, couldn't go down there and dip 5 times. Although he went to the Jordan, he had to follow the instructions. He had to go dip himself 7 times in the Jordan. 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. How much more when the people of God, and I love my sister's testimony earlier, there's examples and there's encouragement from leaders that have been those risk takers and those who have faithfully and are loyal to the cause and have been called by God in a place where they're out front and people can see them and they have to model, not because they're showing off anything, but because they fear God. But they're people, you understand, of confidence and trust in God. And people, you understand, who fear God, but are grateful, thankful. I'm grateful. I stand before you today. I'm a grateful man of God to this day. I don't walk in perfection. God still got a lot of work he's doing in me. But I wouldn't trade him in for nothing, because there ain't nothing worth anything when it comes to God. Week after week, day after day, we have counselors, men and women of God, who are walking the walk and not talking the talk. They give counsel in here. We make altar calls. We get a counsel, and then the next week you come back to the altar, and that's okay. But then when they ask you, well, did you do what we counseled you, what we instructed you to do? No. Naaman got mad. He might have started a war. But here we know that Elisha, you understand, a man of God who had been instructed by God. Look here, let him stand at the door. Because, see, there's lessons being taught here to Naaman. Naaman, according to his predestined plan, his preconceived notion, tell Elijah, I'm here. Elisha had him stand there. You here? I sent my servant. What difference does it make? Go down there and dip 7 times, you'll be cleansed. If you go to that men's or women's home or that marriage counseling, you'll be cleansed. You understand? If you start hanging out, you understand, with the brothers and sisters of the faith, you'll be cleansed. If you start coming to the life groups and the life flows, see, the hour of powers, you understand, you'll be cleansed. But you got to do it wholeheartedly. You can't do it half-heartedly. Because if you really want a healing, if you really want, you understand, God to direct your path because you believe that he knows best, well, then you got to let him. And it's not a cliche, should I say, about let go and let God. Not just a cliche, that's a real deal. See, Naaman had 3 things the Lord wanted to bring out in him. Number one, Naaman needed to learn humility. He needed to learn humility. He needed to lower his view of his own importance and enter into humbleness, a spirit of humbleness. Because God does not honor a human being for so-called greatness. And that his thoughts, as it says in Isaiah 55:89, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, but are higher. The second thing Naaman needed to learn was, man, and this is the kicker. This should have been number one right here. Obedience. Obedience. You came all this way, Naaman, not to do what the man of God said do. You came all this way this morning, church. You said not to do what God is giving you to do this morning. If I couldn't get it right, then I'd still be smoking crack or dead, spending life in prison. God is sovereign, and he wills for us to do the things the way he directs us, because we cannot accomplish them without him and in our own power and our own might and in our own efforts. Naaman brought with him the equivalent of $77,370 worth of gold and silver and 10 changes of clothes to pay the so-called doctor. The doctor, our doctor Jesus, was the one that paid the price. All we had to do is humbly come and allow him to do what he's called us to do, allowed him to do a work in us so that we might do a work that he wants us and wills for us to do. What I love about our homes, oh yeah, you got to put in work. That's part of the part of the process. Not to put in work. But when you came through the door, you didn't need to do nothing but surrender. Hallelujah. Price had already been paid in full. My God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Never come to God with predetermined mind, a preconceived notion or mindset as to how God is going or needs to bless you. The Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. And on occasion, you know, he'll allow us his permissive will. But I want the perfect will of God. Permissive will is okay. You understand, until we get it right. But I want the perfect will of God. Like I said, Naaman couldn't get it done if he went down there and dipped 6 times. Go down there and dip 7 times. Don't put God in a box, church. We don't need to put him in a box. There are those of you here this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Those here this morning who have created your own plan of deliverance. Even though the Lord has called you to go get counseling, to go to the men's home, the women's home, to read your Bible, study the word, that you might show yourself approved unto God, workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that you would rightly use the word, that you would receive the revelation that only God, the Holy Spirit, can give you, that it would turn on a light inside of your heart and mind, and you could walk the walk and be led by the word of God. He calls us to pray and fast. He calls us to edify one another, lift up one another, be your brother and sister's keeper. Don't let them wander around by themselves when they're lost and you're saved and you've been found. Reach out to them. Hug them to death. Do your part. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. God will straighten you out through that thing sometimes that you hate or despise. And just remember this. 1 Corinthians. You might be walking around today. I'm not worth anything. I've done so much wrong. I've burned so many bridges. I've lied, I've cheated, I've stole. People that love me, I've done foul. You might just be one who doesn't realize today that God has forgiven you. But you have to let him. You have to let him come in so that the true forgiveness will take its place in your heart. And then those that you lack forgiveness for, then you learn how to forgive them, and it sets you free from the burden of unforgiveness. But realize this morning, as you ask yourself, who am I? Who am I that the Lord is mindful of me? Who am I? And know this. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound or put to shame that which is wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame that which is mighty. God called you this morning, and he's calling you to come even farther and closer this morning and receive that he has for you wholeheartedly. We haven't arrived. I don't care how long you've been. There are those been here longer than me, worshiping God and serving God. But God is still sovereign. God is still the master. We won't be wiser than him. We won't be able to give more than him. We don't know more than him. This morning, God wants to continue to work in your life. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come this morning, Lord, and we ask you this morning, Lord, to forgive us our sins and trespasses, Lord. Cleanse us this morning of all unrighteousness, Lord. As your word has gone forth this morning, my God, I pray, Lord, you write it on the tablets of the heart and the ears, my God.
that, Lord, the seed that had been planted, Lord, that it would sprout up, produce an everlasting fruit in the lives of the hearers, my God, this morning. And Lord, thank you for your gift of salvation, your free gift. You paid an awesome price, but it's free to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This morning, if there's any of you here this morning who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accepted the free gift that he has given to us all, I want you to raise your hands. Don't want to embarrass nobody this morning. It's about confessing Jesus Christ with your mouth, from your heart, and accepting that free gift of salvation. Time's running out on us, church. There's a whole bunch of souls out there. Maybe some brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, uncles and aunts that need to know Jesus. Amen? I want you to stand with me. As they begin to play the song, I'm going to open up these altars, because there are still some things that we're trying to give to God as a plan for our own lives. And God is telling us to turn away from our own plans. Because many are our plans, but God directs our paths. His way is a perfect way. We don't want to be like those who had the opportunity, but have gone on to face more and more bitterness. Some have even passed on. And we want to answer the call this morning so that there's others we can reach before it's too late. Oh, in the name of Jesus, don't withhold anything this morning. Let go of God. Hallelujah. Let go and let God. Hallelujah.